لا الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن يتقوا الله. الحمد لله. It's just been over a week where we bid farewell to the month of Ramadan. Ramadan was a guest that came and a guest that departed. And I had to wait another 11 months for the guest to return. And it is mentioned throughout the theme of Ramadan, throughout Ramadan, that Ramadan, Allah mentions the rationale or the purpose, or what's the outcome of fasting, was that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that we cultivate, so we develop within us this taqwa. And mentioned that this taqwa has different levels to it. That an individual who just fasted, only fasted, meaning refrain from food, drink, and sensual desires for those 12 or 14 hours, he would have developed a certain level of taqwa, because the individual would have controlled his innate desires within him for the pleasure of Allah. So no matter what, a certain level of taqwa would have been cultivated, would have been developed within him, without doubt. But there are individuals who not only did that, they picked up the Qur'an daily. They had the adhkar done daily. So spiritually reconnecting. There were individuals who did i'tikaf during the month. So the taqwa that was developed and cultivated varied from individual to individual. It's individualized. Every individual taqwa that is developed, that's why you had Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, when he describes fasting, he described it as three different levels. He described it as a level that a person who doesn't eat or drink or fulfill sexual desires, he's fulfilled the fard. He's developed a certain amount of taqwa. But a person who doesn't only do that, but also refrains from backbiting, from any other sins, will increase the amount of taqwa he'll develop. Then the individual who controls his desires, even at iftar and suhoor, where he's going to say that, I'm not going to fill myself up, I'm going to control myself, he's going to develop it even further. The one who does i'tikaf, he would have developed it. His taqwa would have increased, his cultivation or the development of it would have increased much further. Why? Because the person would have restricted himself to the environment of the masjid, the environment of the angels, the environment of a'mal, the environment where sinning should not be taking place, the refraining himself from the outside world. So the amount of taqwa is being developed is differed, but the purpose of it was our servicing. And after A'mal, and we've been through this series and back in January, February, that there is the element of muhasaba in our faith, an element of accountability. Allah mentions the Quran, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. On Qiyamah, Allah, it will be said that لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. Now our whole account, everything will be open, will be lucid, completely transparent. He said, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي, you were unaware of this. I mean, not unaware, you were negligent of this. You were negligent of this. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. Now the cover that's here, we've removed the cover. Meaning everything's transparent, it's clear. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. And today, all matters are lucid. They're completely clear. Now that is the muhasabatul kubra. That's the major account where everything that's been done, basically the after-action report. The after-action report. We've lived a life. Now, that's going to be everything broken down and we're going to be questioned regarding on Qiyamah. And that happens throughout. In any workplace, in any organization, you have intent, implement, and impact. In strategic management, you have that. Where you intend something. What's the goal? What are you trying to do? How are you going to implement it? And after that, what was the impact? I'll give an example. On the 11th and 12th of April, inshallah, we've got a spring camp in the masjid for the boys and girls. Boys upstairs, girls downstairs. Now, what's the plan? What's the intent? What's our thing? That how do we bring these youth into the masjid where they recognize that spiritually connecting themselves to Allah is not something far-fetched. It's something which every person needs. It says what every person can do. This masjid isn't just for the elderly, but for the youth also. That's our intent. How do we create and cultivate this within the children? How do they become confident Muslims? How do they become ambassadors of the faith? What's the implement of that? They need to come into the masjid to see the atmosphere. They need to come and sit and understand who Allah is, for them to develop that relationship with Allah. They need to understand, they need to see that the religion is something practical for them to see that I can live this life. So how are we going to do that? Is bringing them in. Bringing them in through ways that they enjoy. Badminton, table tennis, we have halaqah, we'll have food. For the younger children, 6 to 10, again, it's going to be like the bouncy castle, things like that. So they implement to it in the sense that, how are we going to bring this into reality? Our intent is identity building, but that's comprehensive. It needs to be broken down, decomposition, deconstruction of that goal. And you have the implement to it, which is why we have this whole camp in the holidays. Then after that, we'll look at it to say, what were the strengths, what were the weaknesses, and how is that going to inform future events? Meaning, what went right? We had a good turnout. Did we have a good turnout? Did we not have a good turnout? What went wrong? Were we organized? Were we disorganized? What were the causes for this? So we're thinking of the implement. After the action, what's happened? And it doesn't stop there. We think to ourselves that, how does this inform our future events? That if we were disorganized, how do we ensure that we have the volunteers in future? Now the same thing with our deen. This is what we do this in general. Anything that we do, whether it's in business, whether it's in management, anything, you do the same thing. Same thing with our Ramadan. That in Ramadan, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? In Ramadan, we came and performed our Tarawih in the masjid. We came to perform our Fajr in the masjid. We came to perform our Isha in the masjid. We removed the dust from the Quran. We picked up the tasbih. We spent time in the masjid. We gave time to the masjid. Some brothers were dedicating time in the sense that khidmah, they were serving also the other brothers. We can think that, what did we do right? But at the same time, we can think that, where did I go wrong? Where did I waste my time? Where could time have been better spent? And it doesn't stop there. We then think that there are certain amal, there are certain practices, many things that we can do, that we can continue after the month of Ramadan. Naturally, in the month of Ramadan, there's going to be an increase in our actions. There's going to be an increase. I mentioned the narrations of the great scholars of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ibrahim Nakhai, who would do the khatam, they would complete the Quran every two nights, or some of them every night, which meant that that wasn't the norm. It was an increase in Ramadan. So yes, there's an element of increase, but there's a bare minimum that we'll continue with after the month of Ramadan. Our Quran recitation, our dhikr, our time to the masjid. These things continue. Also, as I mentioned, إِنَّ أَحَبَّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. That the most beloved of actions to Allah are those done with consistency, even though they may be few. They may be few. Remember, this doesn't mean that we do a few fara'id and we leave the other fara'id. That's not what the reference is. The fara'id, our obligations, there's no compromise. We fulfill them. Our salah in the masjid, there's no compromise. We need to perform it. It's almost wajib, sunnah mu'akkadah. It's almost wajib. There's no compromise on certain things. However, our nawafil, our voluntary acts, in terms of how much Quran recitation we are doing, in terms of how much dhikr we are doing, we can set a target for us to accomplish daily. I think, okay, you know, if I can't do a quarter a day, maybe I can do a ruku' a day. I can do this, practically. I'm struggling to read the Quran, so I'm going to do this. So that's in terms of my actual amal, my practice, my actions. So that's one element. So we could think, this is going to take time. Well, sit down with the family. As you do, make it a family exercise. Sometimes it's enjoyable when you sit down with the children to say, what did you all do in Ramadan? And let's do this as a family exercise to think that what are we going to continue, even as a family, what are we going to continue after the month of Ramadan? Are we going to do ta'aleem at home? Let's sit down for 5 minutes and let's read together. Ta'aleem. Things like this. It's about continuing the spirit of Ramadan after the month of Ramadan. Ramadan will pass by, but the spiritual connection that does not die down, that should continue. Ramadan was for that purpose. It was there for us to spiritually reconnect. And we have this for us to continue after the month of Ramadan. So that's one. That how do we continue the spirit, these actions? So take out time, think. Okay, for when I'm at work, I return from work at 5 p.m. Asr Salah, after the clock change, will be at 6 or 7 o'clock. I can come for Asr. Maghrib, I'm definitely at home. Isha, I'm definitely home. Fajr, I'll be at home also because it's going to be at 6 o'clock, 6:15. We can make these salahs. When I'm at work, okay, fair enough. But the remainder we can make in the masjid, and we should be performing our salah in the masjid. It's not only is it, there's almost an obligation for it, not only that, it's extremely rewarding and spiritually edifying. It's that constant reconnection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every salah. Our Quran, our recitation. Additionally to that, it's about us empowering ourselves with knowledge. An individual can be performing his a'mal, he can perform his salah, he can recite the Quran, he can do his dhikr. But if he does not have the correct knowledge and his actions are not according to what our religion teaches, that action will have no weight on Qiyamah. There are three conditions. Iman, number two, Sawab, it needs to be correct. And number three, ikhlas. These three are conditions for an action to be accepted. If our action is not correct, it will not have weight on Qiyamah. So we need the knowledge, empower ourselves. Not only that, an individual who has knowledge is harder for shaitan to misguide him than the one who does not have knowledge and is an abid, he's a worshipper. Why? The one who is a worshipper, he becomes susceptible to doubts. They can throw, oh, why are you doing this? You know, why do you do an additional element of here? Add this to it. Without knowledge, the person can't combat these thoughts, these ideas, these things that come to a person's head. But the person needs this, which is why we've started new series, different series across different days, for this. How do we empower ourselves, gain confidence, to not only express ourselves as our iman, our beliefs, but even our a'mal, how do we beautify our actions to spiritually connect to Allah? This faith, this beauty within us. Remember, our faith is practical. Look at the others. You can look at the churches, how populated they are on a Sunday. Look at ours, even on our Fajr, maybe around 40, 50 people that come for our Fajr Salah. That's our Fajr daily. Our Jumu'ah, the masjid is filled, almost about 700, 800. So we've got this. We're a lived faith. We are a lived faith. But to live it, we need the knowledge for it. Or else we lose the ability to articulate, to be confident, to hold this identity, what it means to be an ambassador of Islam, what it means to be a Muslim. We'll lose that. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those that say we believe in Allah, and they remain steadfast. So attending these workshops to understand that what are the foundations of our faith. On Tuesdays, at 7:30, it's going to change because of Asr Salah, but it'll be on the group. We have our workshops. Part 2 of Tahara is going to be on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, and it's going to be regarding ghusl. How to perform ghusl, what invalidates ghusl, and how do we do it? Because tahara, as Rasulullah says, at-tuhuru shatrul iman, cleanliness is half of faith, in the sense that how we can understand this is, our salah will be invalid. Umrah cannot be done. Hajj cannot be done. Numerous a'mal cannot be performed. The foundations of your a'mal cannot be performed without wudu, without tahara. So it shows the essentiality, the centrality of tahara in our faith, of purity. Which is why ghusl, again, you can't even do wudu without ghusl. We're going to explore that on Tuesday, inshallah. On Wednesday is Seerah. Again, they'll be on the group. Encourage your brothers to participate. Now, so two messages. Number one, think, number one, of all the a'mal that we did in the month of Ramadan. What can we do, and how do we continue this spirit after the month of Ramadan? Number one. Number two, to empower ourselves through ilm, through knowledge. To understand what our faith teaches, because only through that, our a'mal will have weight on Qiyamah. We'll have weight on Qiyamah. That's one. Number two, to be confident Muslim ambassadors. That's only going to come with knowledge. May Allah grant us all true understanding and tawfiq.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونشكره على أنه خلقنا في الأمة المحمدية، فأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، جعل خير أمة الأمة المحمدية، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم الأولون السابقون من الأمة المحمدية. أما بعد، أوصيكم وإياي بتقوى الله عز وجل والتمسك بالسنة المطهرة. نحن في شوال، مضت أيام رمضان مسرعة، كنا نستقبل رمضان بالأمس وودعناه، من أحسن فيه فقد أحسن فيه ومن أساء فيه فقد أساء فيه. أريد الانتباه إلى خمسة أمور. أولا، كان السلف رحمهم الله يخافون الرد بعد العمل، حيث قال رضي الله عنه: كونوا لقبول العمل أشد منكم اهتمام العمل، ألم تسمعوا قول الله: إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. وثانيا، بعد خوف الرد نسأل الله أن يتقبل منا كما قال إبراهيم عليه السلام بعد رفع القواعد من البيت: ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. وثالثا، نشكر ونستغفر الله تعالى، نشكر لتوفيق الصيام والقيام في شهر رمضان، والشكر يظهر بالعمل، ونستغفر لقصورنا في شهر رمضان رغم بركاته. ورابعا، إياكم والعجب. قال القيم رحمه الله: أن ظهور العجب والأمراض الأخرى أشد من الكبائر الظاهرة، فعلينا أن نعترف هذا كله من الله وهذا كله لله. وخامسا، أن نستقيم بتلاوة القرآن والذكر، لسنا عباد رمضان بل عباد الرحمن. وعلامة القبولية أن نوفق بالاستقامة كإتباع رمضان بستة أيام من الصيام، أي قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان ثم أتبعه ستة من شوال كان كصيام الدهر. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، اللهم كلنا واجعلنا لك وأرضنا وارض عنا، آمين يا رب العالمين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ربي من كل ذنب وخطيئة، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، من أطاعهما فقد رشد واهتدى، ومن يعصهما فقد ضل وغوى. أما بعد، فيا معشر المسلمين، قال الله تبارك وتعالى مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته وعلماء أمته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ولده والناس أجمعين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأحياهم عثمان، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنهم. وسيدة نساء أهل الجنة فاطمة رضي الله عنها، وسيد شهداء حمزة رضي الله عنه. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم، رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة وفي سودان وفي كشمير وفي إيران وأينما هم مستضعفون. اللهم انصرهم نصرا عزيزا، وافتح لهم فتحا مبينا، وافتح لهم فتحا قريبا. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأعظم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Kindly straighten the rows. Ensure the row in front of you is complete before standing in the next صف.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Kindly ensure your heels are on the first line.
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها والله خبير بما تعملون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Just two announcements. Number one, on Sunday there will be the clock change because of that. Next week, first Jumu'ah Salah will be at 1:45. The Salah, the Iqamah, will be at 1:45. And second Jumu'ah will be at 2:45. Because of the clock change, from next week, the first Jumu'ah will be at 1:45. And the second Jumu'ah will be at 2:45. And the second announcement is that, again, on this Tuesday, will be the Ghusl workshop on the Tahara series. All brothers are encouraged to participate. It will be at 7:30 p.m. in the downstairs hall. JazakAllah. اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم انت ربنا لا اله الا انت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبوء لك بنعمتك علينا ونبوء بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا فانه لا يغفر الذنوب الا انت ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الابرار توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين اللهم باعد بيننا وبين خطايانا كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب اللهم نقنا من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الابيض من الدنس اللهم اغسلنا من الخطايا بالماء والثلج والبرد اللهم اصلح لنا دين الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرة التي فيها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال ونعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات ونعوذ بك من المأثم والمغرم اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن والعجز والكسل والجبن والبخل وضلع الدين وقهر الرجال ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.